we give glory for another new day, and we thank God for the ability to be alive and to, you know, to speak of His word and to learn from Him. And by the grace of God, we've been starting to see what we call some of the mysteries of God or some of the wisdoms of God. And these are things that God hid for our glory. They were hidden for our glory, in that God chose to hide these things from the rulers of this world, from those people who thought they were wise in the world. Many people thought they were wise. They thought they had it all. They thought they knew the plan of God. But God said that if the rulers of this world had known this wisdom of God, they will not have crucified the Lord of glory. That shows us that even the devil, it was hidden from him, the plan of God. And that speaks to us of the hidden wisdom of God, even in Christmas, even in Christ coming on the earth. And the Bible says, and what we are learning is that, and what we are able to see yesterday is one of the, what was hidden is that divinity was hidden in humanity. And I wanted us to just look at some more verses so that we can be able to build on that. First of all, yesterday we were able to see that when the angel came to Joseph, and he just told her that, you know, the one that, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. And she will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, and he will save his people from their sins. And the Bible says all this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet, that behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call him his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. And that's when we read in Matthew chapter 1 from verse 20 to 23. And so one of the things that we see is that God hid himself. God brought himself on the earth, but he was hidden in flesh. He was hidden in Christ, and that which was born in Mary was of God. And that's the difference, because it was not born of the seed of a man. It was not born of human ability or of flesh, but it was born of God. But you see, also what we see is that the creator of the universe, because God wanted to bring many sons into glory. And this we're able to see in Hebrews chapter 2, where the Bible says, because he desired that, you know, he brings this son into glory, he also became a partaker of flesh and blood like them. So God became a partaker of flesh and blood, such that he can be able to test death for us. He can be able to defeat death. He can be able to defeat the devil on our behalf. And such that then we are made of the same substance as him. We are made of one. We are of the same family with him. And that's why Jesus is not afraid to call us his brothers. Why? Because he also became a partaker in flesh and blood. That's why the Bible says we have a great high priest who has been gone through the heavens, who has been tempted in every way, and one who is able to sympathize with our weaknesses. Because he himself was tempted in every way and was found without fault. And so, you know, and we also linked it up to Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, the prophecy that was given, and his name shall be called. You know, for to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God. And that's why we're seeing how God, the names of this child, the names of Jesus, the names of the Christ, is that he is Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace, and of the increase of his government, there shall be no end. And I mean, God goes on to say that, you know, he will give him the throne of his father David. Now, if we look at the book of John, and we read from verse 11, or okay, maybe which is verse 10, remember, from John chapter 1, we say that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And then when we come to verse 10, he says, "He was in the world, and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him." So the Creator was in the world, yet the world was made through him, the world did not know him. So the Creator himself, he came hidden in his creation. Now that's another mystery that we see, that the Creator, and this is what we were talking about yesterday, that the Creator came to hide in his bid to redeem his creation. Because we know that creation has been subjected to bondage, to the bondage of corruption because of the sin of man. Verse 11, it says, "He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, to all who believed in his name, he gave them the right to become children of God," or the power to become children of God. And the word there is exousia, which is like the authority. You're given the right, I mean the influence, the authority, the right. You take it by right to become the sons of God, to become children of God. He gave them the power to become sons of God, and who are not born of blood or the will of flesh, or that means or of a husband's will, nor of the will of man, but born of God. So God's desire in bringing Christ on the earth is that men shall no longer be born of men or of a husband's will or of your lineage, but that you are born of God. And when you are born of God, you are a son of God, or you are a child of God. And that is yours by right. It is yours by right. There's a power that God gives us to do that. And verse 14 says, which I want us to see, "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth." The Bible says, "John bore witness about him and cried, 'This was whom I said, he who comes after me ranks before him, because he was before me.' And from his fullness, we have all received grace upon grace." Then verse 17, it says, "For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ." Verse 18, "No one has ever seen God. The only God who is at the Father's side has made him known." No one has ever seen God. King James puts it, "For no man has ever seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, has declared him." So, God wanted to reveal himself to us. And how does he do it? Him that is the Word, him that is the Son, that is in the bosom of the Father, that is at the right hand of the Father, became flesh. And he dwelt among us. And the Bible says we have seen him. That means they were able to talk with God. They were able to hold him. They were able to touch him. They were able to speak with him. They were able to eat with him. And then if you go to John chapter 14, and where Philip starts to speak with Jesus, and he asks, John chapter 14, verse 8, it says that Philip said to him, "Lord, show us the Father, and it is enough for us." Jesus said to him, "Have I been with you so long, and you still do not know me, Philip? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, 'Show us the Father'? Do you not believe that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does his works. Believe in me that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me, or else believe on account of the works themselves." Now, if you look at that, when we say God is hidden in humanity. Divinity is hidden in humanity. When Jesus was walking on the earth, he tells his disciples, you want to see the Father. But don't you believe that when I tell you that you have, when you have seen me, you have seen the Father? That I am in the Father and the Father is in me. That means that God had hidden his nature. God had hidden himself and he came and dwelt in a man, in humanity, such that if we want to see God, we are just to see Christ. And that is why the Bible says the prophets of old, they longed to look into these things. Even the Bible says, even angels themselves, they longed to understand these things. That means that angels are concerned. They want to understand what is it, how is it that God, the Creator, can hide himself in his creation? How is it that the God that we cannot see, the God that we just see his glory, now decided to come as a man for the sake of the redemption of man, that we can see him? And now Jesus says, don't you believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? That if you have seen me, you have seen the Father. So God himself, and Jesus says, when you see me, you have seen God. Now, just let's link it up with Hebrews chapter 1. And so that you can see that anyone who met Jesus met God. And anyone who encounters Christ encounters God. And this is very foundational because it is now a wisdom of God that God wanted himself to be known to man. Because the Bible tells us that God dwells in an approachable light. God is light and he dwells in an approachable light. And no one can see him. You understand? And then also God also tells us that he is spirit. He is spirit. So for us on the earth, we are physical beings in that we want to see things. But the spirit is like the wind. We do not see where it's coming from or where it's going, but we can only feel its effect. But you see, God did not want us to operate with him without knowing him. So how does God choose to reveal himself? He chooses to reveal himself through Jesus, who is the Son. Now, when we go to Hebrews chapter 1, it says, verse 1, it says, long ago or in past times, and at many times, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed the heir of all things, through whom also he created the world. Then verse 3, he is the radiance of God's glory and the exact imprint of his nature. Now, let's look at King James. He says, who is the brightness of his glory, the radiance of God's glory, and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had himself cleansed our sins or purged our sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. After he has made purification for our sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. The wisdom of God is that because he is spirit, and how can he make himself known to we human beings who are flesh and blood, who touch, who, you know, scientists, who are empirical? Because, you know, in science we believe in empirical evidence, what you can touch, what you can feel, what you can test, you know, what you can confirm with science, you know, with evidence-based. He says that God has now spoken to us by his Son, who is the exact image. He is the brightness of his glory, or is the radiance of the glory of God, and is the exact imprint, or is the express image of his person, or the exact imprint of his nature. And the word there is, it's like character. Like, you know, like the way in a play, someone will play the character of a person until people hate that character. You can imagine, they say a good actor is one that plays that position until someone hates that person. Now, that person has managed to evoke the true nature, the true characteristics of that person. But you see, when God said he wants to become flesh, a part of him becomes that flesh, such that we can be able to see him, and he is the same God who becomes flesh, that we may know him. And the Bible tells us he is this radiance of God's glory, the express image of his person. So the place that we will see God, and the place that we see God for us even now, and the place that we experience God, and which is the wisdom that God has done, is through Jesus Christ. And he says, I am in the Father, and the Father is in me. And he said he came to his own, yet his own did not believe him. Yet to all that believed him, to all that received him, he gave them the power to become sons of God. Now, think of when Jesus is with his disciples, and they ask him, and Jesus asked them, who do they say that I am? And Peter says, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And then Jesus says, Peter, this was not revealed to you by flesh and blood, but by my Father in heaven. And on this rock I will build my church. You are Peter. And on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail. Now, that means that when Peter got a revelation that the Christ, that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, because when you come to know who God is, then you receive the right to know who you are. So when he encountered Christ, when he encountered God, when he got the revelation that he is, that Christ is the Son of the living God. And when you see, when you're given that title, the Son, that means that you are the express image of God, that God was coming to show himself on the earth. Then he's told that now you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church. Now, that revelation that he is the Son of the living God is really basically saying that he is God. And you see, the Jews understood when someone said that they are the Son with capital S, it meant that they were equal to God. That means they were also God. And that's why they said, how can you, a mere man, claim to be God? And they wanted to stone him. But you see, that is the mystery of God, that he came hidden in a man. And you see, after they find out that he is the Christ, he tells them, do not tell anyone. He forbids them from telling. But you see, when he meets the Samaritan woman, he told her that the Samaritan woman said that, you know, in John chapter 4, that when the Christ comes, when the Messiah comes, he shall explain all these things to us. And then Jesus says, he that speaks to you, I am he. That I am the Christ. I am the Christ. So Jesus already knew that he is the Christ. He was certain of who he is. He was certain. He already heard at the baptism that this is my beloved Son with whom I am well pleased. Hear him. Follow him. Obey him. This is my beloved Son. So when God brought himself on the earth, when he brought his Son, it is for us, so that we encounter him, we know him. that we see the glory of God, who is the brightness, the radiance of God's glory, the exact image of his person. But you see, God also did not just want Jesus to be the only Son of God. He wanted to bring many sons into glory. He wanted also to make us sons of God. And that's why the Bible says that to those who believed him, to those who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave them the authority, the power to become sons of God. Now, what does that mean? It means that God shares his glory with us. He gives us his glory. We become partakers of the divine nature of God. We become partakers by faith of the nature of God. This, you know, Christ bore the full image of God. And then he, out of that fullness, he gives us grace in place of grace. We also are brought into glory. But our place of function is that we function on behalf of God on the earth. We function in the place of God on the earth. Because God, his place is heaven. But he says he has given the earth to the sons of men. So when God hides, when he came hidden in humanity, he wanted to return the authority that he gave man from the beginning, where he said that, let them have dominion on the earth. Let them exercise the same way I exercise my dominion in the heavens. I want man to exercise my dominion and on the earth and let them rule. And likewise, he comes to us and he says to those who believed in him, to those who received him, he gave them the power to become sons of God. That means he gives us his glory, that we function as him on the earth, and we exercise every right and every authority that God wanted us to demonstrate him on the earth. Just like the same way Jesus demonstrated God on the earth, he also wants you and me the power to become sons of God. And it pleased God to bring many sons into glory. These are the things that when you think about, all you can just say, glory to God. Thank you, Jesus, that you loved us, that you hid this mystery. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Your desire was that not only do you hide divinity in humanity, but you also want us that believe in you to also share in that glory, just a part of it, and exercise that authority on the earth and to function as sons of God. Just like Adam was given that authority to function as a son of God, but he gave away his authority. Christ came to restore that authority, that those who will believe him will be given that same dominion, that same authority to exercise as sons of God. Oh, wow, our time is gone. Let me stop there, and we shall continue by the grace of God at another time. You're welcome for reflections.
Thank you, Doctor. Nothing more from my side.
Amen. Anything else? Yes, go ahead, Teremba. I'm not hearing you. Okay, fine. Sure. Okay, thank you. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for your word. Thank you for speaking to us. Thank you for bringing us to the place of understanding that you hid yourself, you hid divinity in humanity, and your desire was to restore authority back to man. And these are the wisdoms, these are the hidden mysteries of Christ in us, the hope of glory, that your desire was to bring back sons. Your desire to raise sons to make us partakers of the divine nature. And I thank you that this word, may it take root in our hearts. Give us the wisdom to understand it. Give us the ability to know it. Give us the humility to walk in the truth, to look unto you, to function with the authority that you give us, the right, the exousia, to become sons of God. And indeed, may we take our stand on the earth. May we take our stand against the forces of darkness, against the works of the evil one, against witchcraft. May we take our stand against everything that the enemy brings our way. And also may we take our stand to exercise the right to exercise your glory on the earth, that indeed may we administer grace to men, may we bring other sons into glory, because it was for your good pleasure. It was for your good pleasure. And I pray for anyone that's there, that's listening, that wants to believe in you, may you, as they accept Jesus into their heart, may they receive this power, this right to become a son of God, and to share and to be a partaker of the same glory, just as you partook in flesh and blood. You did it so that we can also be a partaker in your nature, in the divine nature. Thank you for the hidden wisdoms and the hidden mysteries of Christ. Christ in us, the hope of glory. Blessed Redeemer, we thank you and we return all the glory to you. In Jesus' name we pray and believe. Amen. Amen. God bless and shalom. Have a blessed, blessed day ahead.